إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His help, and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the potential evil of ourselves and from the consequences of our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah allows to go astray, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship, nothing worthy of obedience except Allah. He's alone without any partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. And we ask Allah to raise the rank of our beloved messenger Muhammad, to raise his status, to bless him, to shower him with grace and with mercy, along with his family, his companions, and all those who follow his path of righteousness to the last day. Brothers and sisters, I thought of something, since we're speaking about the Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam, that's what we've been doing for the last few weeks. So I wanted to have a discourse about how he was with his family. A little bit. How he used to deal with them. And to start it off, I wanted to give something of hope. You know, I notice we meet on a weekday or a weeknight and everyone is kind of tired.
The speaker. It's not there, I guess.
Oh. And we will fix the technical difficulty shortly. Good call, mashallah. Saved the day for us before we get to the heavy stuff. It's on now?
Yeah, it's on.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So, wa alaykum salam. So I was saying, we're meeting at during the week. Everyone is kind of tired, coming home from work. And sometimes we're not paying much attention to the class, which is fine. It's not a big deal. Because the body has its rights on us. But I thought of something amazing that used to take place in the time of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, since we're discussing his biography and his life story. You know, in those days, pre-modern times, electricity was not a factor. So people actually went to sleep early. They did not stay up late. And they would wake up early in the morning. That's how it is all over the planet. Except for places that have electricity. So the companions of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, the community in his time, they were working. They were not just playing around. So they would work and they would be tired naturally. And it was a tradition, and it's actually something very recommended, that they would take a daytime nap. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam recommended that his community would take a daytime nap. Of course, in a society like this, that's not very feasible. People don't really do that. But I'm just letting you know what took place then. Now, they used to take that daytime nap, and it was more like a power nap. It wasn't really several hours. It was maybe 30 minutes, just at noon when the day is really hot, to take a break from everything, rest a little bit, and so forth. And they would go to sleep. You know, there are some reports mentioned that they would be waiting in the masjid for Salat al-Isha, and they would be dozing off, like some people do in class. And some of them, you would hear them snoring. I mean, they really dozed off as they're sitting down and waiting for Salah. And that's why the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam actually advised them. He told them, you should take a daytime nap. Because when you don't rest in the daytime, you're going to get really tired by the time night falls. It was also the tradition of the Messenger that he would not stay up after Isha. You know, they would eat a very early dinner. They don't eat right before they go to sleep. So after Isha, there is nothing to be done other than to go to sleep. And then the tradition of the community was also to wake up in the early hours of the morning, before Fajr, before dawn, and to pray a little bit to remember Allah, you know, in that time of tranquility, that time of quiet. That was their tradition.
Is it tahajjud?
That's tahajjud, or what's called qiyamul layl, waking up at night and praying.
Before Fajr.
So right now, let's say our Fajr right now is, it comes in at about 5:30. So maybe 3 o'clock, starting from 3. You can say the last third of the night. If you were to divide the night, you can say the last third of the night. And that's the most virtuous part of the night. So they would wake up at that time and pray. That's all, like, beside really the main story that I'm trying to share here. But I'm just telling you how they used to be. And due to the fact that they would wake up at night and not sleep the whole night, they would be naturally tired, you know, by the time night falls the next day. Not in the daytime. In the daytime, they're working hard. Now, that was the case for the men and the women. The women in Islam, it's not their requirement, it's not their obligation to serve. They're not servants in the house. If they decide to help the husband out, that's very good. That's very nice. May Allah reward them for doing that. But it is not the woman's job when you marry her that she becomes your servant or your slave. However, the women in the time of the messenger used to take care of the homes. And if they had animals, they would take care of the animals. And they would take care of the property and so forth while the man is doing business outside. He wasn't a bum chilling in the house while the woman does everything. So they were actually working hand in hand. Now, one of the best families in the time of the messenger, in fact, in the time in all of human history, is the family of the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, more specifically his daughter Fatima, alayha salam wa radiyallahu anha, may Allah have peace on her and may Allah be pleased with her. She is one of four women that have reached perfection in this world. Only four women have reached perfection, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. Maryam, the mother of Isa alayhi salam. Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. And those two Allah gave as examples for the believers. ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah says in the Quran, Allah has given an example for the believers. All the believers, and He mentions two women. Maryam and Asiya. He did not give an example of a man. He gave an example of two women. So Maryam bintu Imran, the mother of Isa. Asiya bintu Muzahim, the wife of Fir'aun, the most tyrannical leader in human history. And we have a lot of tyrants nowadays that trace their roots back to Fir'aun. Not biologically, but through their actions. The third is Khadija bintu Khuwaylid, the first wife of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the mother of all of his children, with the exception of Ibrahim. Radiyallahu anha wa ardaha, may Allah be pleased with her and raise her rank. And number four is Khadija's daughter, Fatima bintu Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the messenger, in many reports, you'd be amazed that the messenger used to love this woman so much, Fatima. When he would see her, he would feel happy. When she would come, he would stand up in honor of her. And he would bring her and he would seat her where he was sitting. And he would take off his cloak, you know, the nice garment that he would wear on top. He would lay it down so she can sit on it. And he would say, she's a piece of me. So he had tremendous love for Fatima radiallahu anha. And he married her to one of the best of all the men after the messengers, which is Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, which was, in some reports, the first believer. You know, he was the first believer amongst the children, without a doubt. So Khadija was the first believer and she was a woman. Abu Bakr was the first man believer. He's the homie, the friend, the close companion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ali was almost like an adoptive son of the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام, he took care of him. Because the Messenger was almost adopted by his uncle Abu Talib. In return, he semi-adopted Ali. And Ali was raised in the Messenger's home عليه الصلاة والسلام. So he married this beautiful young lady, Fatima, to none other than Ali ibn Abi Talib. So this is a couple. So now, Fatima, going back to how we were saying, and we want to appreciate all our sisters. I know a lot of the sisters put a lot of work taking care of the homes and the children. So may Allah reward you tremendously for all your efforts and your patience with the men. I know we're lousy and we have a lot of shortcomings, but please forgive us and may Allah reward you with the highest of paradise. So Fatima was no different than the rest of the believing sisters. She used to help her husband out. She would help out around the house. She would clean, she would mop, she would take care of the animals and so forth. So much so that her hands got blisters. Just imagine, the most blessed woman in her generation had blisters on her hands due to working, labor. She felt tired. She felt exhausted, like all of you do. But especially the sisters. Because you only put up with half of the stuff in life. But the sisters put up with a lot. So Fatima radiallahu anha felt this way. Then something happened where a battle took place. And basically the prisoners of war in Islamic history become slaves and servants. So everybody became happy. We're going to have servants to help us out in our affairs, because it's very difficult to maintain. And one of those people that were happy was Fatima. And she came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she said, I would like to have a servant. I'm very exhausted. He says, oh my daughter, I don't have anything to offer you. So she went back home, kind of heartbroken, you know. But that was the reality. It's not like the Messenger ﷺ was preventing her from having something that he had. But the reality was, whenever something would come to the Messenger, whether it was wealth or anything like that, he would spread it out immediately. He would not go to sleep before all the wealth in his house was out. He wouldn't keep anything. Actually, he would keep everything. That's what he told Aisha. One time they sacrificed an animal. So Aisha, his wife, may Allah be pleased with her, she gave all the animal out to the poor and the needy, and she left one piece of the animal. So the Messenger came and he's like, what did you do with the animal? She's like, I gave it all out and I only saved a little piece. He's like, no, you saved the whole animal and you gave out one piece, which is whatever is remaining. So the Messenger would keep everything for himself in the next life by giving everything that he had in this life. So that was the answer he gave to Aisha, to Fatima radiallahu anha. Then in the evening he felt that she felt bad. He went and visited them. Now this is the father-in-law. Usually in-laws are not too cool, right? But just imagine your father-in-law is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's your father-in-law, man. Just imagine that. There is no problems in that household, right? Well, it's a household, so naturally, she's frustrated now. So she's complaining to her husband, you know, Ali. The Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, comes to them. And like I said, these people go to sleep early because they're trying to wake up early to pray and then start their regular day. The narration says that he came to them. Now their homes, by the way, were not extravagant homes. They were very tiny compartments. Very small rooms. You know, like if one person is laying down, that's basically the whole room. 6 by 6, you can say 7 by 7. That's the room. 7 feet by 7 feet. No bigger than that. So he comes in, and they're laying in bed. Ali and his wife, Fatima. The father-in-law comes, and he gets in between them two. He sits right in between them. Ali says, radiallahu anhu wa arda, I felt the coolness of the Prophet's feet on my chest. So he comes and he squeezes in. Of course, when these people went to sleep, I mean, naturally, you're comfortable. So you're in your house, you know, you're like not in your pajamas, you're just chilling, you're right? And the messenger just came in. They didn't have to dress up for him or anything like that. He just comes, he's checking on his family, on his children. So he checks on his daughter and he gives her some sweet words and how you feeling, and you know, I'm sorry, I couldn't give you anything. You know, Allah alam what exactly transpired, the whole conversation, but we know that the messenger was very gentle and his words were the best of words. But he told her, should I not tell you about something that is better for you than having a servant? But he didn't just say this to her. He says, خَيْرٌ لَكُمَا مِنْ خَادِمٍ. Better for you both than having a servant. Because the reason she asked for the servant is to help her and her husband out. She wasn't just feeling, hey, I'm exhausted. No, I want to help myself and my husband out. We're both struggling. We're both tired. We're both exhausted. So he says, should I not tell you both about something that is better for you both than having a servant? Jazakallah khairan. May Allah reward you and give you a drink in paradise that you will never feel thirsty after. And whoever heard this prayer, ameen to that as well, to all of y'all. So she said, of course, tell us. I mean, better than a servant. I guess he's got several servants hiding for us, right? What do you think when someone says, you need a servant? He's like, I got something better for you than a servant. A super servant? Multiple servants? What is it? He says, before you go to sleep at night, say something and it is better for you than having a servant. Say Subhanallah, which means Allah is perfect. He is the epitome of perfection. He is far above any imperfection that people attribute to Him. And say Alhamdulillah, which is all praise is due to Allah. We thank Him, we praise Him because He deserves to be praised. And Allahu Akbar. Say each one of these. Allahu Akbar meaning Allah is greater than, and it's empty afterwards because He's greater than everything and anything you can think of, or things that you can't even imagine or think of. So say these three words, these three statements, 33 times each. Actually, the first one 33, the second one 33, and the third one 34. So you say Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 34 times. Of course, in another narration, the messenger said those are the most beloved statements to Allah, statements of His remembrance. Anyway, that's what I wanted to start off with. Because we're all tired, we're kind of exhausted, we're feeling like we need help. I need help. The sisters need help. You all need help. Night falls and you're just very exhausted. You don't know what to do to get some energy, some strength. Forget the energy drinks. They're not good for you. They're going to destroy your immune system. But think about your spiritual strength and you'll be surprised. You're like, well, these are just words. What is this? Like, you guys believe in fairy tales and you say a special formula. No, this is not magical stuff, by the way. This is legit stuff. Because I know some Muslims spread lies. In fact, today my grandma sent me some letters. She was like, look what these people are saying. Is it approved or not approved? She wants a special fatwa from the learned person. So of course I look at it and it's clear that it's false, fabricated narrations that people made up to encourage people to do good things. So someone just decides, you know, people are not reading Quran, so let me just lie and say how good this surah is, and what special effects this ayah has, and what this special prayer has. And if I do that, then people will be encouraged to do that. So I'm not lying, you know, it's the ends justify the means. I want people to read good things, so I'll just make things up. So there are those people who exist and who lie and fabricate reports. But this is as legitimate as it gets. This is a real report that the messenger gave. And there is amazing effects of these statements. And the only way you'll find out is by trying. So give it a try. Yes?
Does it have to be 33 by number? Or, I mean...
Yes. In that particular time, that particular place, it is specific, a specific number. Just like the remembrance after Salah, the post-Salah remembrance. We say Astaghfirullah 3 times because that's what the messenger said. Someone says, well, I want to say it 10 times. Don't say it 10 times then. Say it 10 times later. This has a special way. He says, take your worship from me, do what I do. Likewise, after Salah you say 33, 33, 33, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. And then the 100th time you say, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahu al-mulk wa lahu al-hamdu, wa ala kulli shay'in qadir. This is called dhikr muqayyad, which means it's tied down, it's specific, you can't increase, you can't decrease. You were given a formula. You want to get the full reward, do that formula. Don't invent something and say, this is what you say after Salah, even if you have a good intention. Finish the formula that's been given and then do dhikr as much as you want. That's called dhikr mutlaq, which means it's not tied down. It's open, it's general, you can do it as much as you want. But very good question. Thank you very much. May Allah reward you for that. So there are amazing effects, even though this is only a statement, but through spiritual statements, dhikr, remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, we are actually affected physically. It gives you physical strength. And if you don't believe that, why do you think you're more fresh after fasting? Fasting deprives the body of food. But in so doing, you're gaining strength. You're gaining God consciousness with its taqwa, the objective of fasting. But you're also gaining physical strength. So why do you think people that want to work out and look good and go on a diet fast, which is they abstain from certain things? That's what a diet is. Abstaining from certain things. It's because of the results that they're going to be given. So all the physical or spiritual things that we've been given, they give you physical strength as well. Likewise, when you are weak spiritually, you become weak physically. So if you're not, because what you have to remember is there is not just a physical existence that we see. We are a physical body, but we also have a spiritual aspect to us. And so does everything around us. There are spiritual bodies all around us. Okay? So you know how your immune system, what does it do? It repels bad germs, viruses, bacteria, and stuff like that. The bad stuff, right? That's the physical realm. Spiritual exercises, meaning dhikr and prayer and fasting and reciting the Quran and so forth, they strengthen your spiritual immune system, because if your spiritual immune system is not strong, there is devils that are wanting to snatch you left and right and you don't see them. A virus, you might see it. An infection, it might be physically clear. In the spirit, you don't see it, but you see the aftermath. It eats you up. So if you want to be protected in the spiritual realm, then you have to have a spiritual diet, which is to do what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam told you, and it will give you the physical strength as well. That's the story that I wanted to start off with. Another occasion, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam went and visited his daughter Fatima alayha salam wa radiyallahu anha wa ardaha. May Allah be pleased with her, and may Allah have peace on her. And by the way, we say alayhi salam in particular because we know when you do sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallama, we're actually commanded to ask Allah to raise the rank and the mention and to bless the messenger and his righteous family. The condition is they gotta be righteous. Because there are some people who claim to be from the messenger's family, but they are devils in human skin, flesh. So we only pray for the righteous amongst the Prophet's family. Anyway, so it was his regular practice to go and visit his daughter. And this happened to be in the daytime nap. He went in the daytime break, the power nap we're talking about. So when he goes to the house, and she used to live next to him, by the way. It wasn't like far away. It was literally next door. He didn't see her husband Ali in the house. And this is normally an hour where the husband comes back at home. They take a communal break. Everyone takes a break. The wife takes a break. The husband takes a break. Everyone takes a break. So he asks her, where is your cousin, Fatima? Why does he say, where's your cousin? Like, where's your cuz? Like, is that what he means? No, he's literally her cousin. He's her father's cousin. So he's her second cousin. So where's your cousin? And the messenger felt like there was something wrong. Something was not right. That caused them to leave in this hour. And this is what you notice by saying, when he said, he did not say, where is Ali? He did not say, where is your husband? He's trying to get something out of her, you know, use her emotions, work on her emotions. He says, where is your cousin? Because if she's upset at him for being Ali or for being her husband, she cannot be upset because her cousin, because of family ties. So he's reminding her of the family ties. Don't break up family ties. Where is your cousin? So Fatima says, you know, something happened between me and him and he upset me. You know, we started, can you believe problems in the best of families? Yes, it's natural. He upset me. So he left the house and he did not take his daytime nap in my house. He went out. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam told one of the people that were with him, maybe one of his servants or one of the close companions that used to serve him, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, go check him out, see where he's at. So he went and he searched for him. So he saw him laying down, this is the daytime hours, he saw him laying next to a wall in the masjid. So he comes back to the Messenger and he says, oh Messenger of Allah, I saw him in the masjid sleeping. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam went, and surely he saw him laying down and his upper garment had fallen down. Do you know what men wear in Umrah? You've seen what the men wear when they go in a state of ihram for Hajj and Umrah. They wear two towels. A bottom towel is called izar. Lungi is called izar, which is the lower garment. The top garment is called rida. So now that's what they used to wear regularly. It wasn't just what they wore in that time. And some people in the Muslim world, until today, they dress this way. They wear a lower garment and they wear a top garment. The closest dress code like that is some places in Yemen. They actually still wear that. They wear an izar. That's like their suit and tie. An izar, a skirt, and a rida. It's not a three-piece, it's a two-piece. Somebody got it. Yeah, alhamdulillah. Anyway, so he noticed that his upper garment had fallen down because they didn't have buttons. Naturally, it's going to fall down. When you're laying down, it's going to fall down. So, and some of the dirt from the masjid was not carpeted, mind you. It did not have rugs, even though that's a Muslim tradition nowadays, that the masjid has to be hooked up with nice carpet, nice rugs. Even until recently, a lot of masajid, and if you go to the Muslim world until today, a lot of masajid don't have fancy rugs or carpet. It's like just pebbles and, you know. Anyway, so some of the dirt from the masjid had gotten on his body. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was wiping off his body with his blessed hand, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was joking with him, telling him, get up, Abu Turab. Abu Turab means father of dirt. When you say Abu, it means you're the father of such and such. So like, my daughter is Maryam, so you would call me Abu Maryam, for example. That's a tradition for the Arabs. It's called a kunya. A lot of the cultures of the East don't have this, but some do. So the Messenger was named Abu al-Qasim, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. That was one of his names. His it's not a nickname, it's called a kunya. You know? Ali, his real name is Abu al-Hasan, because his oldest son is al-Hasan, radiyallahu anhu arda. But here the Messenger is teasing him and he called him a new nickname. He's like, get up. You got dirt on you. You father of dirt. Get up. Teasing him. That's basically the story. So now when we extract lessons, look at how many lessons we can extract. And this is not even a full reflection. This is what one of the scholars said. He says, number one, is the Messenger connecting with his family and visiting them on a regular basis. We're talking about the biography of the Messenger ﷺ. We just taken two instances here. We started with the first one, and it's a gift for all of us. What to say for physical strength when you feel exhausted? That formula before you go to sleep. But this is telling us that he regularly checked on them. Physically. Of course, they did not have phones back then, but he went physically to make sure to see things with his eyes. What's going on? And even though he's a father, he did not wait for his daughter to come visit him. A lot of us in Eastern traditions, like,
I'm the father. My children have to visit me.
Well, are you better than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He went and checked on his children, because that's what a true father does. Until the children die, you're still the father. You got to check on them. Now, that does not mean they disrespect you, but what it is the dealing is the same. You give them love and respect and they will show it back. True love, though, is taking care of them, not just physically and financially, but taking care of them spiritually. When you don't take care of them spiritually, they will not take care of you when you get older. But you take care of them spiritually, even if you're poor. Even if you're not doing too well, they'll take care of you when you get old. So that's the key. Spiritual nourishment. Spiritual growth. So this shows us the Messenger's love to his daughter, and she was the best of women of her generation and all generations to come, radiallahu anha. Number two, look at the beautiful manners and the beautiful etiquette of Fatima herself. We didn't, you know, the narration is very small. How she explained what happened between her and her husband. She says, something happened between me and him, so he left. That's all she said. See how beautiful that is? She didn't say, oh, I got something to tell you. She gave him a whole rap sheet and newspaper of what the husband did. Something happened, and she left it like that. Something happened between me and him, and he left. And they say, a trained person never volunteers information. So she answered the question. Where is your cousin? He's out. Something happened and he's out. That's it. She did not say who's responsible for the mistake. And she basically made the responsibility shared between her and him. Something happened between me and him, which means it was two ways. Both sides. So she did not blame him. It's a both thing. And of course, there should be no surprise that this is the manners that Fatima has, because why? She's a piece of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. In fact, the Messenger's progeny, his offspring, all comes through Fatima radiallahu anha. Because she's the only one whose children survived. So the Messenger's offspring, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is only through Fatima. So she is literally a piece of the Messenger. Now, when a woman just, her tongue is kind of loose all over the place, the first question that she gets, she takes that opportunity to just blast her husband and everything, you know, and then the problems just increase. Number three, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam did not inquire and did not interrogate and did not seek further explanation. He left it at that. He's like, what happened between you? Was that asked? No, it wasn't. He did not force her to mention details. But all he did was find out where the man was. That's it. As simple as that. And this is a very wise way of dealing with problems. Especially, you know, the normal family problems. Now, certain family problems in the household need professional help. You have to go to a marriage counselor. And it's not wrong. You should do it if the problems are big. But sometimes regular things, you know, you don't put too much emphasis on them. And that's what the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam did in order for the problem not to become bigger. Number four. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam, how did he treat his son-in-law? He treated him like his own son. So that's why he goes with him with that mercy. And he feels sorry for him that dirt came on his side, because he has a house. He has a bed. But because he's upset, he left. So he felt bad for him and he woke him up. Get up, son. And this means that there was no type of anger from the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam towards Ali. None whatsoever. He was not angry with him. But this is true fatherly love from the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam for his son-in-law and for his cousin Ali radiallahu anhu. And he wiped the dirt off of him and he called him a new nickname that explains his situation, that he's got dirt on him. And he did not complain to him about angering Fatima, even though the Messenger ﷺ would never tolerate anyone angering Fatima. He says, whoever angers Fatima angers me. But because he knew this is something simple, don't make a big deal out of it, he wasn't angry with Ali radiallahu anhu. Number five, you see the wisdom in the prophetic household. This ideal family and how they dealt with their problems. They were normal just like everyone else, and it's natural to have family problems, to get into some type of arguments. But look at Ali's wisdom radiallahu anhu. When anger was present, he just left outside the house and he took his daytime nap outside the house. And this is to prevent any type of further debate and further argumentation. And this is so the feelings can cool down. Because when you're angry, this, by the way, explains something to you. Anger, I wanted to speak about this, but I don't know why I didn't. Of course, we don't have time. But the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one time two people were fighting. And he can see that one of them, his face got red, his veins came out, and the Messenger ﷺ was, he can see this. So he told his companions, he says, I know something. If he would say it, it would relieve him of the condition he's going through, with that, which is that anger. He should say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. I seek protection and refuge in Allah from the accursed devil. If he says that, that condition would leave him. But look at the Messenger's wisdom. He did not go and say that to the man. Because he saw that situation was very... The guy was blowing up. So one of the Sahaba, one of the ones that were around the Messenger, he took this and he's like, I want to help this brother out. He's burning himself out. He's about to have a heart attack. That's what happens when you get upset. You just lose it. So he goes and he tells him, hey man, the Messenger said that in order for you to be relieved of the condition that you're having right now, say this. The guy's like, leave me alone, don't you know what I'm going through? And he got upset. Just imagine if he did that, if the Messenger had told him. That's another thing with the wisdom of the Messenger. So sometimes a scholar or a person of learning, if they're truly following the Messenger, they should not put their nose in every single problem. And you should not be upset that they did not put their nose in every single problem. Because maybe they have more wisdom. Maybe they have more wisdom and they know that the consequence would be worse. So they'll address the issue indirectly, but they won't go and dive in it head first. Anyway, I mentioned that about anger because the story has some anger. And anger is a very bad disease. And anger is a spiritual disease. The Messenger ﷺ says that the devil runs through the bloodstream of the son of Adam. This is spiritual. You do not see it. If you were to go and get a piece of like blood and go to the lab, they won't see any devils in there. But we believe in it. It's there. And devil's made out of fire. And when you get upset, what happens to you? You get hot. Because he's all over in you. And what did the Messenger say to cool yourself down? Make wudu. What does fire do when you put water on it? It gets extinguished. He said, if you're standing, sit down. If you're sitting down, lay down. Go walk. Change your condition. What did Ali do? Prophetic teaching. Ali is taught well. He got angry. See you later. He went out. He did not stay in the same house. The house is pretty small. Right? That would have caused an explosion. He just went out. I'm going to take my nap outside. I'm not going to go down. Anyway, so the Messenger, or Ali radiallahu anhu here, he took that time off, and this cooled things down. And this is what brings about the proper original condition afterwards. Like when you go back after this, it's like something never happened. So you forget and your wife forgets. You never hold that. You hold a grudge.
Oh, she made me take my nap on the couch.
Man, go to the couch. It's fine. The couch is a blessing sometimes. No, I paid for that bed. King size bed. It says king for a reason. I'm the king of the house. Right? Doesn't work like that in Islam. Number six, the fact that this nickname that the messenger gave to Ali remained as a pleasant experience for him for the rest of his life. He used to love to be called by that name, especially from the lips of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even though it makes no sense, like father of dirt. You'd be like, what's so special about father of dirt? Father of dirt, like dirt is dirty. Dirty is not good, right? Father of dirt. But he loved it because the messenger gave it to him. And it always brought back positive memories of him laying down and the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam wiping him with his blessed hand, you know, and removing the dirt and telling him get up. So that's what I wanted to discuss today. I hope Allah azza wa jalla guides us to follow the prophetic example and to see that this is just one small story. You know, the biography of the messenger is not just his life story. The number one source for learning about the messenger is the Quran. And I was shocked when we studied this in my first year in the College of Sharia Law, which is the law of God in English, if you want to translate it. We had the class of the Prophet's biography. And our teacher comes in, the professor says, okay guys, so tell me what are the best references for the messenger's lifetime, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So everyone is volunteering the books of Sira. Books specifically, so Ibn Hisham, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn this, Ibn that. You know, the books on the biography. He says, all of you are wrong. He's like, the number one reference is the Quran itself. The Quran discusses the messenger's life more than anything else. You just have to look into it the proper way. And then he says, what else? So everybody's mentioning the books of the biography. He's like, no, before those. The books of biography just gives you general things, but it misses out a lot. He's like the sunnah of the messenger, the hadith, the traditions of the messenger. Because today we learned a tradition, actually two. The one about the nighttime visit, right? My hands are sore, I'm exhausted, give me a servant. That was what? A hadith. But that's part of his lifetime, right? And then his visit in the daytime hour, father of dirt. So you learned two things today. From the seerah of the messenger, the biography of the messenger, but it's not from a seerah book. It's from the books of a hadith. And that's the importance of hadith, the traditions of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My time is over. I don't know what you have planned. Do you want me to make the dua now or make it later? It's up to you. Make the dua now? Huh?
Yeah, you do the dua.
Do the dua. Okay, inshallah. Anyway, so may Allah bless you all. First of all, I do appreciate your attendance and you being attentive. And hopefully we left with a positive message today. So please, your homework every night before you go to sleep, don't forget to say what? 33, 33, and 34, right? And we had said one time about a month ago in a khutbah about Ayatul Kursi. The messenger said, if you recite Ayatul Kursi before you go to sleep, there will be a guard from Allah, a spiritual guard repelling any evil and any devils coming to you. Ayatul Kursi is what you read before you go to sleep as well. And there's a lot of other things that you read, but that's what I want to leave you off with. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bless us and to benefit us from what we heard and to make this information evidence for us and not evidence against us on the Day of Judgment. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. We ask you, O Allah, to grant us the good of this life and the good of the next life and to save us from the fire. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. O Allah, don't mislead our hearts after you've guided us and grant us mercy and grace from you. In fact, you're the one who provides and grants. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Oh Allah, we've wronged ourselves, we've made poor choices, we're confessing our sins. If you don't forgive us and have mercy on us, we'll be amongst the losers. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه ولا تجعله ملتبسا علينا فنضل. Oh Allah, show us the truth as truth and guide us to follow it. And show us falsehood as falsehood and guide us to stay away from it. And don't make it ambiguous that we would not know the difference between them. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أبقيتنا واجعلها الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا واجعل الجنة هي دارنا وقرارنا. Oh Allah, grant us from your awe, from your consciousness what prevents us from sinning and transgressing your limits. Grant us from righteous deeds that which will reach us into your paradise, and grant us from certainty that which will make the difficulties and tribulations of this life easy for us. Let us enjoy all the blessings you've given us. Let us enjoy our hearing, our vision, our strength to the maximum, to the day we meet you. Oh Allah, don't make this material life our biggest concern. Don't make our tribulation and our religion. And do not make our revenge except for those that have wronged us and transgressed against us, and give us victory against those that have enmity with us. Don't make hell our final destination. Make our final abode an abode of bliss in paradise, O Allah. اللهم انصر المسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم انصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم عليك بطواغيت الحكم في بلاد المسلمين. اللهم انصر المسلمين عليهم. اللهم خذهم أخذ عزيز مقتدر. O Allah, we ask you to give victory to the believers. And we ask you to destroy the tyrants who are leading the Muslim countries. We ask you to make them an example for others. And we ask you to give victory against your enemies and the enemies of the believers. And we ask you, O Allah, to have mercy on the believers that have passed. And we ask you not to hold us responsible for what's happening for our brothers and sisters all over the world. And to make us a positive voice and a voice of empowerment for whoever we meet, inshaAllah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. We ask you, Allah, to bless the Messenger Muhammad, to raise his rank and to raise his mention, and to have mercy on him and to shower him with peace and grace and blessings along with his family, his companions, and all those who follow his guidance. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. O Allah, you are far above any imperfection. You are perfect. And we praise you and we send peace and salutations upon all your messengers, and we say all praise is due to you. We say all praise is due to Allah, and we say Allah is far above any imperfection. We bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah. He's alone without any partners. We seek forgiveness from Allah and we repent to Him. Amen.